Lord Jesus Christ the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Glory in the highest heaven. For Jesus the Messiah reigns. Tell him.
You are the King of glory. You are the Prince of peace. You are the Lord of heaven and earth. You're the Son of righteousness. Angels bow down before you. Worship and adore, for you have the words of eternal life. You are Jesus Christ the Lord. Hosanna. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Glory in the highest heaven, for Jesus the Messiah reigns.
Let's sing it again.
You are the King of glory. You are the Prince of peace. You are the Lord of heaven and earth. You're the Son of righteousness. Angels bow down before you. Worship and adore. You have the words of eternal life. You are Jesus Christ the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Glory in the highest heaven. Jesus the Messiah reigns. Glory.
Yes, we come to you, and you come back to us.
We worship and adore. Praise you, Jesus, for you have the words of eternal life. You are Jesus Christ, my Lord.
Let's get real personal with him this morning and let's sing the first part of this song again. Sing it to him with all your heart. You know, he's looking at you saying the same thing. He loves you. He cares for you. Return that love to him this morning as we sing this.
You are the King of glory. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the Lord in heaven and earth. You're the Son of Righteousness. Angels bow down before you, worship and adore. You have the words of eternal life. You are Jesus Christ the Lord.
Hosanna.
Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Glory in the highest heaven. Jesus the Messiah reigns.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. You reign in this place, O Lord. I acknowledge you, Lord, as my Messiah. You reign in this place,
Lord.
We give you the place. There is none like you, Lord. There is none before. There is none after, Lord. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.
Yes, yes. Praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We lift our voices to you, Lord.
Praise your name.
Praise you, Lord. Praise
I
you,
love you, Lord. I
hallelujah.
Love you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
And I worship you. Praise.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
We seek you with all of our hearts, O Lord. We hunger and thirst. We worship and adore you, Lord. You are my life, Lord. Hallelujah.
I have said in my word, says the Lord, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. And in this day and time, I've called you my church. And I've said, church, church. How many times would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. In this day and time, my church will not do what I've asked them to do. They're not about me. They're about their agendas. They're about their selfishness. They're about the things of this world rather than the things that exalt and extol my name. But I have called you, flock. I have called you and set you apart to be a part of those who will touch this world, starting with this city and this county and this state and then this nation for me, because you have a heart that's after me. Don't let it be said in your life, as my church, that you would not. When I call to you and I want to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks, I have told you I have good things for you. Stand up, believe them, declare them. Rejoice in those things. I am the Lord. I change not. My word will not fail. My word will never stop.
Hallelujah.
I esteem my word above my name. You esteem my word above everything else. Give me praise and worship. Don't you know that I love you? I love you. I love you with a love that cannot be quenched, with a fire that cannot be quenched. And I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. I've set before you the good things of this earth. But you must choose to do my will, says the Lord. And I will do those things which you have read and spoken and declared in times past and even this day. Do great and mighty things through you, even more than you can even imagine,
hallelujah,
says the Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
Step out of your cognitive abilities. Step out of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Be moved. Be moved by my spirit in your spirit. There is no law against love, faith, meekness, long-suffering, temperance, patience, kindness, faith, and hope. Move in these things. Move in these things, out of your thinking, out of your cognitive judgmentalism. Move by my spirit where there is no law. There is no word I would give you to say stop or slow down. Move in the characteristics of my spirit.
Yes.
Come to know me. Come to know
yes.
me.
Yes.
For in me you live. In me you have your being.
Yes. Hallelujah.
So, don't wrestle with your mind. Don't wrestle with your doctrine. Release your spirit into my spirit and flow in those things that are not unlawful. Flow in them. Flow in them. Flow in them. And
yes.
you will find that you will know me more and more and more.
Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Seek Him and He will be found. That's the word. If you seek Him, He will be found.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise and worship team, if you'll be seated. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to stay in His presence for another moment. I feel like I've got a tough word for you this morning, and I think we still need to spend just a few more minutes getting ready for that. Amen? Come on, work with me here. It wasn't my idea, it wasn't my word. You just sang that the word was from the Lord. Amen? I've got a tough one for you. Next week we'll have a grand one. This week we'll have a tough one. Patrick, why don't you play that song? It's, I don't know if we'll have you play the whole thing, but we need to prepare ourselves for the Word of God and the presence of God. Amen? Y'all listen, close your eyes, and if you feel like singing, that's okay. If not, just pray. Get yourself softened for the Word. Go ahead and turn it up a little bit, Patrick. Thank you, Lord, that your heaven is open. Are our hearts open this morning, Lord? Touch us to receive from you. Touch us to hear from you, Lord. We open our hearts as you sing to us about an open heaven. We sing back to you that we do receive from you, Lord. We do receive you with all of our hearts. We want to hear what you have for us today. We are prepared, Lord. We're hungry and we're thirsty. We desire you this morning. Touch us and change us. For your honor and for glory, your glory, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Everybody that agrees says amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Now, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord is going to give to us this morning. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt He's already given. Praise God. He's already given to me. Hallelujah. Let's give back to Him His tithes and our offerings. Amen. Hallelujah. If you need a cash offering envelope, raise your hands. If you need a cash offering envelope, raise your hands, please. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. I remind you this morning as you give unto the Lord, invoke the Word. The very word receive does not mean open your hand. Well, it does mean that, but it means some other things. It means that you're to take, grasp, and pull down. If you meet the Word meets you. I promise you. If the Word says give and it shall be given, then it shall be given as sure as give. Amen? The only thing that's more sure is that His gift to you will be larger than yours to Him. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. I praise you for that. Hallelujah. Well, gentlemen, if you'll come forward, looks like my announcer is taken off. We'll have our announcements in a minute. Praise the Lord. Father, once again, we invoke the Word over your people. We say your Word over the people. To those that give out of a joyful heart, we present your Word as evidence that you will follow with signs. We love you, Lord. We ask you to bless the offering, the gift, the giver this morning. Let it meet and exceed your need on this earth. And for that, we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Everybody that agrees says amen.
Praise the Lord. It is good to be in God's house this morning. We've got a bunch of people out. We've got a bunch of people on the road. I know that Harry and Marie took off this morning for Canada. What part of Canada? Winnipeg, Canada. And I know that Bob and Karen are out in Wyoming, I believe. And let's see, Chuck and Tanya, who knows? The adventures of the Vanders. Anyway, we do have a lot of people out, but we do have some people visiting with us this morning. We would like to welcome you. And one gentleman is a friend of Bob Heller's. It's Dante Zaylor in the back. It's good to have you with us this morning, Dante. All the way from Anchorage, Alaska. Praise the Lord. Also, I didn't get a visitor's card, but I met her before the service. And that is Annie, sitting there next to Jerry. Annie, what is your last name? Annie Taylor. It's good to have you with us this morning. Let's see. Good to see Johnny back. Yeah. If you will, take a look real quickly with me at the bulletin. It is not last week's bulletin. It is this week's bulletin with last week's date. We were just checking to see if you guys were awake. How many of you guys caught that? Raise your hands. Oh, see there? Steve, did you get a blank one this week too? Oh, okay. You only listen. Okay. Making sure he didn't get a blank one 2 weeks in a row. Anyway, next week is our Celebration Sunday. We're celebrating 7 years, and we're celebrating our new home here at 8690 West Jewel Avenue, and we're excited about that. And I know that many of you have already invited. I know that we have sent out many invitations. I know that we have done some advertising in some local newspapers, and we're expecting a big crowd. We're expecting some great things, and we're just excited about being able to celebrate 7 wonderful years. I look back and I had to by faith say that, because there were some times whenever it was a struggle, but praise God, we're celebrating 7 years, and that is neat. A couple of things real quickly. If you'll notice, it says it's a boy. Congratulations to Joe and Shanna. Yes. And Steve and Julie, the parents and the proud grandparents of David Jacob. He was born in the wee hours of the morning on August the 27th. And he was a bouncing 8-pound, 4-ounce baby boy that was 19 inches long. And quite a bit of labor to bring forth that little guy. But praise God, he and mother are both doing well and are healthy. Praise God. Let's see. Oh, yes. Our Mexican fiesta will be September the 21st. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a sign-up sheet. How soon do you think we'll have a sign-up sheet? Okay. So by next Sunday? By next Sunday, there's going to be a sign-up sheet at the back so that you can sign up beside whichever Mexican dish is your favorite and whichever one you can cook good. So be prepared to sign up for that. That's going to be at Barry and Bobby Joe's home. And we'll have the address and the directions and all that kind of good stuff for that forthcoming. Also, don't forget, the following Sunday, which is September the 15th, Pastor Justice from Bungoma, Kenya will be here. And you really want to be sure to invite people to hear that. It's, you know, we don't very often get a chance to hear people that are in the ministry in another country. I know that sometimes that we don't realize that they go through the same struggles that we do. And it's interesting to hear what God is doing over there. And you really want to hear his testimony and about what is going on in Bungoma, Kenya. Also, don't forget about the ladies' luncheon and ministry on the 24th. That's at Renee's home. And that will be at 10 a.m. That's going to be the fourth Tuesday of every month. That's going to be a regular thing. Is that going to be always at your place, Renee, for right now? Yeah, for right now, that's going to be every fourth Tuesday of the month at Renee's. Let's see. There are still some more invitations. If you think of someone that you haven't sent an invitation to, or you know that they didn't get an invitation, there's some more invitations that you can mail out to people this week. Also, there's a sign-up sheet back there for you to sign up for food to bring for our guests for next week and for us for next week also. There's you'll see it there. I think there's chicken salad, there's turkey salad, there's tuna salad, egg salad, any kind of salad sandwich that we can prepare here. We are not going to prepare sandwiches, so don't bring prepared sandwiches because we want them to be fresh. So just bring the stuff to make the sandwiches, and then we will prepare it downstairs. We will be serving a lunch afterwards. In fact, we will have refreshments here until about 4 o'clock next Sunday. And we've got a big air tiger jumper for the kids. I know that's going to be a lot of fun. I know that also, don't forget, free portraits. We're not sure if we're going to take the portraits on the inside or the outside, but come in your picture clothes, and we're going to be giving a free portrait to every family. So we want to make sure that you guys remember that. Can you think of anything else I'm forgetting? Oh, On here, I want to remind you guys, it says here at the bottom, right-hand side of your bulletin, remember your missions in your offerings. Also, something that we haven't mentioned since we've moved here, as you guys realize, moving is an expense. And we need to keep that in mind in our tithes and our offerings. We've put out some extra money that we weren't planning on putting out, but we also put out some money on advertising that we don't normally spend and some different things. So just keep that in mind. And again, for our guests, it's very good to have you with us this morning. We pray that God will change your life for being here today.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, are we ready to receive from the Lord?
Yes.
Father, you hear your people. Meet their needs today. Everybody agree?
Yes.
Amen. All right. Let's get going. Last week, if you weren't here, get the tape. We're going to have a kind of a 3 or 4 part series. I guess we don't have children. You do? All right, we do have children's church. All righty. Follow that lady. Not everybody. Praise the Lord. If you will, get your Bibles. I'm going to be mostly in Jeremiah and Job. What a strange combination. But I'll bet you the Holy Spirit puts it together today. I'm counting on that. Hallelujah. I want to remind you of Wednesday night. We're changing up Wednesday night, at least for a season, because the season is I don't know when Steve will be here and when he won't be, but did a good job Wednesday night. How many of you were here? Wednesday night. You were? And we had a good teaching. You need to come, join in and hear. Are we going to continue on?
Yes, sir. I'll
Holy Spirit. Never can know enough. You don't know enough. Come learn some more. Pray for the Wednesday night service so that God will do His thing, not us. Amen? All right. Now, last week we talked about where is your hope? And that God wants us whole. It doesn't just mean healthy. It doesn't just mean one of anything. It's a big picture. Amen? So we're going to continue on the picture of wholeness and where your hope is. Who is the God that you know and what is He? So our key verse for this series is going to be in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Father, bless your word. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me. When you know that, by the way, when you know who you're talking to, and when you know the God that you're talking to has a good design for your life, when you know that, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Anybody feel a little captivity in their lives? Well, we've got a promise from God. Now, the formula here is, as soon as you know your God, you can pray to Him. I hate to say this, it sounds a little strange, but most Christians do not know who their God is. I was came out of a restaurant the other day, and a lady asked me to take a picture for her. She was 89 years old. And I took a picture. Probably a good idea. What do you think? I took a picture of her, and I took another. And she told me she was 89. And she said, but thank God, I'm still going strong. He gave me cancer, but I'm still going strong. And I thought, lady, you don't even know your God. You don't even know who your God is. If you did, you would know He doesn't own any cancer.
Right.
So He can't give you any. If she knew who her God was, she could call on Him and He would bring her out of that captivity. We need to know who our God is. Now I'm going to go in a little direction today that I believe keeps us, hinders our prayers, hinders our desires, hinders us. And I want you guys, you've heard this probably, but if you haven't, you're going to get mad at me. But I really don't care about that. What I care about is that I handle the Word of God properly and carefully. because it is life, it is health, and it is abundance. If I mishandle it to make you happy, I've taken away life, health, and abundance. If I give it to you straight, then you get to know who your God is, you get to know who you are, and you can ask freely to be brought out of captivity. Any kind of captivity. Amen? So here we go. A lot of us are good people. You know that? I can look through here and I can see a whole bunch of good people. But one of these days, we're going to kind of look over into hell and we're going to see an awful lot of good people in hell. Christians, understand that. I know you don't like that. I get this brawling back every time I say that. Because you don't like me saying that. You don't like me saying that. I know you don't. But it's the truth. It's the truth. I don't want us to be good people. I want us to be good people in the sight of the Lord. In whatever criteria that is. Not mine, by the way. He'll never ask me about you and He'll never ask you about me. Good will be in the sight of the Lord. I know that we've led a good life and we've helped people. And sometimes we get to relaxing in that. We get to patting ourselves so much on the back, we not only become double-jointed, we become double-minded. We get that arm stretched way back there. And it causes our mind to be double-minded. I know that nobody in here has ever done really bad things, so we must be okay, right? So therefore, when we pray, we know that God owes us for being good. Come on. I've heard some of you pray before. I've heard me pray before. I'm not the only one here that gets that feeling every once in a while. That because I'm doing so much good, God owes me. Can we just start off with one premise? Everybody in this place that's saved, you didn't earn it. God approached you when you were just worthless and gave you something, a chance, a life. Nowhere in His Word does He say, now if you'll be perfect, I'll bless you again. But He does have some criteria. Y'all know that? Let's look at it. God laid on my heart another verse, and you can write this down. You're familiar with it anyway. It's Mark 16, verse 17. Mark 16, verse 17. It says, and these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, y'all are all excited about that, right? All right, here's the thing I want you to focus on with me for a little bit this morning. The first part of Mark 16, 17. And these signs shall follow those that believe. Now, I know that you want to fill in the rest of that scripture because you're such good people, right? You want to claim that scripture, the rest of that, because we're such good people. But I want to look at this from a different direction. I want us to begin to find out what signs are following us so that we can see what we believe. Not try to say, I believe, so signs follow. Let's just reverse it for a minute. Let's do what the Bible says when it talks about consider our ways. Does this sound like a real comfortable one? Once again, I want you to look behind you and I want you to see what signs have been following you. If they haven't been what we read in the rest of that, then we must be believing in the wrong thing. Because I will tell you that the law of seed time and harvest works for everybody, saint and sinner alike. So there are signs following you right at this moment. You've already had signs follow you. You've already produced fruit. You've already produced harvest out of what you believe. The lady that I referred to earlier produced a harvest of cancer because she believed that her God carried cancer and could give it to Him at will. So the signs that followed her were cancer. You'll not find that in the Bible, in the promises of God, that you'll be good and I'll bless you with cancer. It's quiet, isn't it? I want to submit to you today that we all are believing something. We all have signs following. Let's take a look. I want you to look at Job with me for a moment. I just love the way Job has been portrayed as the person that God decided to stomp on to prove something good. Don't you just love that? That the devil and God were down playing checkers one day and the subject of Job came up, and in their friendly game, while they were taking down a couple of brewskis, they decided, let's go punish Job for a little while, just for a game. You stomp on him a while, I'll stomp on him a while, and let's see which one he stays with. Oh, what the theological seminaries can do for you. That's not the God that I know. If you know that God, I'd like to introduce you to a different God. Because that's not the real one. I want you to turn to Job. I want you to start with chapter 29. We're not going to start at the beginning and get into some argument. I'm not interested in your opinion and you're not interested in mine. I'm going to read for you a moment to show you a man's heart. We're going to look at a man's heart and then we're going to let the theological arguments fall to the side when you and I really get smart by looking at a man's heart and not listening to a man's mouth. Job was wealthy. He was powerful. Wealthy and powerful. He ruled and reigned. And something happened. Some signs began to follow that weren't the promise of God. You and I are here today to find out why. So that we can eliminate those things in our lives. Job chapter 29 verse 2. I'm going to show you a man that's full of pride and arrogance, self-power and self-authority. Read with me, would you please? Job 29:2. How I long... This is, by the way, I'm doing another thing sacrilegious. I'm going to read from the NIV. But it'll be close to what you have. I'm reading from the NIV just for... Because it does agree with the King James. And it's easier to understand. Not always, but in this case. How I long for the months gone by, for the days when God watched over me. Now you understand that He's decided now that His God no longer watches over Him. Why? Because He's alive, but He's not wealthy. Verse 3, when His lamp shone upon my head, and by His light I walked through darkness. Now I want you to understand something here. As we go through this, I want you to look at how many I's, me's, and my's are in this chapter. And we're going to find out what Job's problem really was. Why he fell. Verse 4, oh for the days when I was in my prime. When God's intimate friendship blessed my house. When the Almighty was still with me and my children were around me. And my path was drenched with cream. And the rock poured out for me streams of olive oil. When I went to the gate of the city and took my seat in the public square. Now the city's going to stop when Job shows up. Because he's got a special seat. The whole city just has to panic. Watch and I'll show you. The young men saw me and stepped aside. And the old men moved their feet. The chief men refrained from speaking and covered their mouths with their hands. In one of your versions it says, their tongues stuck to the roof of their mouth. They were so in awe. I tell you what, Job was hot in Job's mind. Job was perfect in Job's mind. Job was a good man in Job's mind. Let's go on. The voices of the nobles were hushed. And their tongues stuck to the roof of their mouths. Whoever heard me spoke well of me. Whoever heard me speak spoke well of me. And those who saw me commended me. Where did God come in this at all? Because I rescued the poor who cried for help. And the fatherless who had none to assist him. The man who was dying blessed me. Ooh, this is a good one. I made the widow's hearts sing. I turned them on, guys. I'm so pretty and I'm hot and I'm wealthy and I'm tough and I'm a stud. And I even turned the widow's hearts on. This guy don't need a cheerleading section. He doesn't need God to honor him. He's too busy honoring himself. Verse 14. I put on righteousness as my clothing. Can I tell you something? Righteousness is a person. It's not a lifestyle. It's a person. You don't put Jesus on. He either is in you and you in Him, and you walk and you talk and you give glory and honor to the Father and to Jesus, or you do what Job says. I put on righteousness as my clothing. Justice was my robe and my turban. I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. Oh, he was the answer for everything, wasn't he? Y'all heard this before? I was a father to the needy. I took up the case of the stranger. Listen to this. I broke the fangs of the wicked. And snatched the victims from their teeth. Do you guys know what this was an answer to? It was to a prophet that came and told him he wasn't living right. And this was his self-defense. 18. I thought, I will die in my own house. My days as numerous as the grains of sand. I'll live forever. My roots will reach to the water and the dew will lie at night on my branches. My glory will remain fresh in me. The bow will... the bow ever knew in my hand. I'll just be young and beautiful and studly all my life. Men, listen to me expectantly. Y'all like this one? Men, listen to me expectantly. Waiting in silence for my counsel. Hey, y'all looking at me strange. What if I sat up here and started saying this to you? I didn't read from Job. What if I started saying about these things about me? How would you? Would you be still quiet, or would you be kind of killing me? Would you be saying, oh boy, you need another dip? Come on, we're talking about a man that was in serious trouble here. And he's revealing his heart. I hope it's revealing some of ours. After I had spoken, they spoke no more. Because when I say it, it's all been said. My words fell gently on their ears. They waited for me as for showers and drank in my words as the spring rain. When I smiled at them, they scarcely believed it. No wonder God was having a hard time with Job. The light of my face was precious to them. All I had to do is show up and they got light. I chose the way for them and sat as their chief. I dwelt as a king among his troops. I was like one who comforts mourners. Now can I show you one more verse that begins to really reveal his heart? Just one little short one, if that's not enough. Very next, Job chapter 30, verse 1. I want to show you what he thought of other men. The very plan of God is other men. This is what he thought. But now they mock me, men younger than I, whose fathers I would have disdained to put with my sheepdogs. They weren't even worth being with my sheepdogs. You see the hierarchy here? The structure, the sifting, where I end up on top and everything else is on bottom. How can God let these signs and wonders follow? How can He allow this? I'm going to read over a little bit more. Y'all stay with me. I'm going to show you a few more quotes. I'm going to show you how easy it is to get into this mode. How we feel like the problems we go through, they're God's testing of us. Rather than God actually purifying us. Let me read you one, I'll show you. Job 30, verse 15 through 19. Terrors overwhelm me. My dignity is driven away as by the wind. My safety vanishes like a cloud. Can I tell you something? If you know the God that I know, I don't care where you are, what situation you're in, you don't have to be afraid. If you know a false God, when things go bad, you get afraid. 16. And now my life ebbs away. Days of suffering grip me. Night pierces my bones. My gnawing pains never rest. I'm glad I didn't have to hang around this clown. 18. In His great power, God becomes like clothing to me. He binds me like the neck of my garment. He throws me into the mud, and I am reduced to dust and ashes. You know what Job is saying here? I've been a good guy. God's been the bad guy. I did what was right. He throws nasty stuff on me and throws me into nasty stuff. Now, this may be an exaggeration a little bit according to your life, but how many times? How many times when a little trial or tribulation comes, you begin to not look at you, you begin to look at God? You begin to consider that maybe it's not His will. You consider that maybe He doesn't back up every word. Maybe sometimes He's a liar. Chapter 30, verse 20 through 23. I cry out to You, O God, but You do not answer. I stand up, but You merely look at me. You turn on me ruthlessly. With the might of Your hand, You attack me. With the might of Your hand, You attack me. Boy, He's tough. God attacked him and he's still alive. Y'all should chuckle. This is funny ignorance here. You snatch me up and drive me before the wind. You toss me about in the storm. I know You will bring me down to death, to the place appointed for all the living. Once again, I do what's right. God is at fault. See, I've talked to some of you. I've talked to some of you. And I've heard how it's always the other guy's fault. And it's always the other guy that's wrong. And it's always the other guy, it's never me. And maybe that's why we don't have the good signs and wonders following. And maybe right here at this time, that's why Job's signs and wonders were destruction. The signs that followed destruction. Why? Because that's what he believed. He's saying it. Let's go on. Job 31, verse 9. Now I want to show you here the loving heart of Job. I'm going to show you how that even if there has to be punishment, where Job would rather have the punishment. In other words, don't clean up my act. Let's work on somebody else. Listen to this. Job 31, verse 9. If my heart has been enticed by a woman, or if I have lurked at my neighbor's door, then may my wife grind another man's grain, and may other men sleep with her. Did y'all miss something here? If I have done wrong, punish my wife. She ain't much anyway, especially compared to me. For that would have been shameful. If I had done that, that would be shameful, a sin to be judged. In other words, if I had really done sin, I would deserve judgment. It is a fire that burns to destruction. It would have uprooted my harvest. Job 31, verse 24. If I have put my trust in gold or said to pure gold, you are my security. If I have rejoiced over my great wealth, the fortune of my hands had gained. One of the things that I want to submit to you is generally speaking, when people talk, they accuse themselves. They know. And so they say, if I have put my trust in gold, if I have rejoiced over great wealth, if I have regarded the sun in its radiance or the moon moving in splendor, so that my heart was secretly enticed and my hand offered them a kiss of homage, then these would be signs to be judged, for I would have been unfaithful to God on high. I would have been judged because I would have been faithful to God on high, unfaithful to God on high. Listen, he just showed us with his heart that his wealth and power, he honored and expected everybody else to honor. He just showed us that he disdained men, especially those that disagreed with him. He showed us that he'd rather see his wife ruined than him take any blame. In his own words, he said, then these also would be sins to be judged, for I would have been unfaithful to God on high. Job in his sin knew that he'd been unfaithful, therefore things were supposed to come on him. How many of you are that wise in here? I told you, you don't have to get excited about this. Just fess up to it. I didn't say this was a real glorious word. I said it was a tough word. Job 31, verse 35. Oh, that I had someone to hear me. I sign now my defense. Let the Almighty answer this. Come on. How many times in your secret prayer time have you laid there and you told God how good you were and then asked Him for an answer to this? He said, I am so good, I'm going to put it in writing, and God can't even resist my writing. How many of you have put that kind of demands on God? I have done righteous, so now you owe me. Boy, y'all are excited about this one. Well, where do you think it came from? It came from home. Job 33, verse 8 and 9. Now I want to tell you what happens. For 30 plus nearly 33 chapters, Job has had an ongoing discussion about his righteousness and God's unrighteousness. One time he was against God, the next time he's for Him. One God he's praising Him, the next time he's cursing Him. You don't believe it? Read your book. It's plain as simple. If you read it any other way, you've read it through somebody else's eyes, not the Holy Spirit's. Here comes a prophet. A young, immature, unworthy prophet that has heard enough. He's moved by the Holy Spirit of the living God to speak on God's behalf. He says, Job 33, verse 8 and 9, but you have said in my hearing, I heard these very words, I am pure without sin. I am clean and free of guilt. That's what you told me, Job. I heard you. Job 33, 12. But I tell you, in this you are not right, for God is greater than man. Why do you complain to Him that He answers none of man's words? 34, chapter 34, verse 5. Job speaks again. Job says, I am innocent, but God denies me justice. Oh, people. Job didn't want justice. Are you hearing me? We better be careful for what we say. Job didn't want justice. He wanted it his way. He was denied justice and given grace and mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we're denied justice and given grace and mercy. Job 34, verse 7. The prophet again, Elihu speaks. What man is like Job who drinks scorn like water? He keeps company with evildoers. He associates with wicked men. He keeps company with evildoers. He associates with wicked men. For he says, it profits a man nothing when he tries to please God. Woo! And I'm going to tell you a guarantee. I've heard that from y'all before. I've heard it from me. The Holy Spirit heard it from you. What are we doing, Stan? We're going to get this nasty stuff out of our mouths. We're going to get this nasty stuff out of our minds and hearts. We're going to look at Job as what he was put in there as a prophet to us so that we can see what not to do and what not to say. Amen? Job 34, verse 10. Far be it from God to do evil, from the Almighty to do wrong. He repays a man for what he has done. How many of you would like to just put that over the doorpost of your house? Are you bold enough to say he repays a man for what he does? Shall I just draw a line here and see who wants to step up to that one? Well, I just did. This is Elihu speaking. He repays a man for what he does. He brings upon him what his conduct deserves. Verse 12. It is unthinkable that God would do wrong. How in the thunder could you even let that thought go through your mind that God could do wrong? I'll speak from a prophet of old. It is unthinkable for you to think that God can do wrong. Unimaginable. That the Almighty would pervert justice. That justice would pervert justice. Job 34, verse 26. Elihu says he punishes them for their wickedness where everyone can see them. He punishes them for their wickedness where everyone can see them because they turned from following him and had no regret for any of his ways. One time, I dare you one time to read the book of Job and tell me where Job regretted until after chapter 33. That was Elihu speaking to Job. Let's let Elihu speak to us just for a minute. Job 34, verse 35, 36, 37. Job speaks without knowledge. Let me tell you, when we blame God, we speak without knowledge. When we blame God, we speak without knowledge. When we blame God, our words lack insight. Verse 36. Oh, that Job might be tested to the utmost for answering like a wicked man. This is a prophet of God saying, let's have a little more, God. He wants a little more. If he thinks God's testing him, test him some more. The man wants it. He's asking for it. 37. To his sin. Whoa! Sorry, theologians. To his sin, the prophet of God, those that you think that he's a perfect man in all of his ways, to his sin, he adds rebellion. To his sin, he adds rebellion. Scornfully, he clasps his hands among us and multiplies his words against God. I want to talk to you for a second, people. The signs that are following you are showing how we think about God. What we're living in, the things we're going through, they reveal our thought processes and our true belief about God. Y'all are having a hard time swallowing this one. I can feel this. But I don't care. I'm telling you the truth, man. Everybody's going to have signs follow. If you don't like the signs, change. Don't change God. He's the same yesterday forever and today forever. Now thank God when the Word of God is spoken, where it's written through a prophet, a preacher, a teacher, whoever, a friend, when that person begins to listen. I nearly choked up when I just took up the Word. I looked at the Word and I realized that the Word changes people. And when somebody is speaking the words of God, lives will be changed. Do you hear me? We're not doing this in waste. I'm not doing this so that I can make you feel real bad this morning. I want to look at this. I want you to look at it. I want you to look at you so that change can occur. So that the same thing that happened to Job can happen to you and I. Job was not a failure. He was a failure for a moment. You're not a failure. You may be a failure for a moment, but you're not a failure. Amen. We're not talking about something that has to be ongoing. We're talking about something that can be changed.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Nothing in me that can't be changed. Not ever. Job chapter 38, verse 1. God has finally allowed to speak. Do you realize that for seems like years, God let Job just rattle and rattle and rattle and rattle? I got some encouraging words for you. You're not going to upset God. I don't care what you do, you're not going to upset Him. There's already a law in process in nature and in the spirit realm where if you don't do what He says, you're going to reap the harvest. And when you do what He says, you reap the harvest. That's simple. Now listen, 38:1-2, then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. What storm? The one Job caused. I don't think God rolls around in a storm all the time. I think He just has to come into ours every once in a while. He said, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? My goodness, how many times has God said that to everybody in here? Job chapter 40, verse 1. My little caption here is when we stop giving answers, we get them. Listen to me carefully. When you go to God without answers, you'll get them. When you go to God with answers, you'll get nothing. Maybe some storm. The Lord said to Job, will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Can we get this picture in our mind every time we go to the throne of God? Can we just hear God saying, you're going to contend with the one that made you? You're going to argue with me? Are you going to listen to me? Come on. Last time we prayed, were we arguing or were we listening? Will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him. Man, I can just see God grabbing you by the nape of the neck, by the shirt. Answer me! Some of us need that, guys. It would be so healthy for us, for God just to grab us a little bit and let our hair start going like this and while God's saying, answer me! Y'all don't like that picture of God. Well, there He is. Then Job answered the Lord. Listen, for the first time, wisdom comes into Job. Listen, when you get to talking to God, you're going to get smart. I'm telling you, you get in the presence of God and stop your talking and start listening, then the knowledge comes in. Listen to what Job says. Verse 4. I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I finally, thank God for the whole world, put my hand over my mouth. Job finally says, I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more. Verse 6. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you will answer me. How many of you have ever had God ask you a question? Now, I'm talking about serious now. I'm not talking about little. Let me tell you what happens when God asks you a question. You cannot lie. You can't. If He looked at me and said, Stan, are you stupid? I'd say, uh-huh. Even though my head would be doing like this, I'll guarantee you, my mouth would be saying, uh-huh. And I'm going, why did you say that? When God asks you a question, you will answer Him the truth, even when you don't want to. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. Brace yourself like a man. I will question you. You will answer me. Would you discredit my justice? Would you call me unfair? Would you tell me that's enough, God? Ooh. Would you condemn me to justify yourself? Hey, ears perk up. Would you condemn God to justify you? Your ways, your thoughts, your deeds? Job 42, verse 4. Job's eyes were open to himself. You said, listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you shall answer me. Verse 5. My ears had heard of you. My ears have heard of you. But now my eyes have seen you. Now we just went from religion to Christianity. We went from obedience to the law to getting in bed with the law, having an intimate relationship with the law. Up until now, God, I've heard about you. But never in my wildest dreams did I think you look like you look. You're gorgeous. You're beautiful. You're just. You're fair. You're right. My goodness, I've seen myself in the mirror over and over for the first time. I see me wrong and I see you right. I didn't know I could be so wrong. I didn't know you could be so right. I didn't even know what right meant until I saw you. Therefore, when you see God, when you stop hearing about Him and you get to know Him, this is what happens. I despise myself. God, I'll no longer despise you. I despise me. Make me like you. and repent in dust and ashes. Job repented. If he hadn't done anything wrong, he wouldn't have needed to repent. Job repented. One more thing, Job. You know all those people that you think are lower than dogs? 42 verse 10. And Job, after Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. Can I tell you something? God was not displeased with Job just when he was sinning. He was displeased with Job when he was wealthy and powerful. One of the things we can see is that the reason he was displeased with him is he wanted him to have more. Can you believe that? I mean, this guy ruled half the world. Owned it. And God wasn't satisfied. He said, I got to make this clown where he can handle more because I want to bless him more. I got to get him to see where he's limited and see where he's limiting me. See, it don't make any difference how good you think you are and how powerful you think you are. God's got more for you. He's got more for you. What do you care how he gets you there? What do you care how he gets you there? He had something more for Mary. All Mary had to say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Be it unto me according to your will. Well, all that was going to take is pain and degradation and insult and then raising the snotty-nosed brat that's going to poop his diaper. That's all it took. Just a little change in your life. Was it worth it? Oh, yeah. It was worth it. Mary knew that. In a short time, Mary knew that. She still knows it. She still knows it. Job 42:12. Here comes the signs. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. He had signs before. The signs changed. Are you listening to me? Anybody got some bad signs trailing them right now? Come on, you either do this or I'm going to tell you what they are. Just be free to do this. I got some bad signs following me, God. I don't want them anymore. Be it unto me according to your will. Let's change these things. I'm not going to spend an awful lot of time talking about what the obvious is. I hope things have become obvious. But you must know that God's not unfair. Whatever's happening to you, it's fair. Whatever you're going through, it's fair. And it's public, isn't it? Kind of like it was with Job. Man, I try to keep that a secret. I just can't keep it a secret. It's a command of God that signs are going to follow you. All you got to do is turn around and say, I don't like that one. I like that one. God, what do I do about this? I'm not going to sit here and dwell on the good stuff like Job did. Let's attack the bad. Let's get to it and let's find the root and the cause. And let's stand. How do we stand? What do you stand? You got to stand in the God that you believe. That's all you've got. Listen to me again. If all you got is you, you have already lost. Because I don't care how smart one of you thinks you are in here. Man, you're not even a dim light bulb in the presence of God.
Right.
And if you'll just look at you, you'll say, I hate you. But if you'll look at God, you'll say, I love you, God. I love you, God. I don't care. I didn't realize I was so ugly. Can I tell you some signs that we can't afford? We can just look at Job and see some signs we can't afford. You cannot afford self-pity. If you feel sorry for yourself, then just go ahead and rub those same boils that Job was rubbing. Just go ahead and complain and complain and complain. See where it gets you. You can't afford fear. If there's any fear in your life, you got to get rid of it. Job had to get rid of his before he was returned to what God wanted him to be, right? You got to take it on, people. You got to take it on. Pride, ego, arrogance. Looking down on other people, thinking that you're smarter, better, wiser. I sure don't want to be like them. I wouldn't even let them hang around my dogs. I can do whatever job you can do, I can do it better. Get your hands off them and help. Because if we'll do it to man, we do it to God. Job felt like that when he opened his mouth, that it literally shut everybody else's mouth. And it got him in an ash heap. That's where it put him. I'm telling you, God likes people. And He likes to speak through people. Not person. People. I'm promising you, from the littlest one parents of the littlest one in here, they'll minister to you if you'll listen. From the oldest to the youngest, they'll listen. They'll minister if you'll listen. From the dumbest to the smartest, they will minister to you if you'll listen. How about faith? Have you got real strong faith? When's the last time you believed for anything? And then, when's the last time you believed for anything and had it come about? If what you've got following you is always problems with never permanent solutions, you've got a problem. You've got a Job problem. We need to deal with it. We need to face it. Listen, I heard this in the Spirit just then. This is not about us. My goodness, we just talked about the plan. Why did God want Job stronger, wiser, wealthier than ever? So He could use him more than ever. That's what this is about. I'm not going to tell you that you're to be wealthy and healthy and wise so that you can be wealthy, healthy and wise. What a waste. What a waste. But if God can just double everything you've ever been in your entire life, triple and quadruple, then He can reach out and touch other people. If everybody else always gets judgment, but never you, you just know about God. You don't know Him. Anybody that knows God, has an intimate relationship, knows this. That every time, if it's 20,000 times a day, every time you walk into the presence of God, God greets you with a kiss and a suggestion. He really does. And suggestion, if you're looking at Him eye to eye, nose to nose, mouth to mouth, the suggestion will be, I want you so much better than you are now. Let me do it to you. Let me do it for you. Let me do it through you. It won't be that broad. He'll be saying specifics, but everyone will have the same connotation. I don't like the junk that's following you. Let's clean it up so you can really get on the race here and get moving. God's a good God. The one I know He is. Do you want the life of Job or do you want the redemption of Job? You got two distinct opposites here. I don't want to know how good I am. I don't remember all of my good deeds. I don't want to remember all those good, bad, or indifferent things, whatever you see your life as. They're not important. What's important is they stop right here and right now and we see God for who He really is so we can see us for who we really are. Real. Something real, guys. Something real. No religious. No things that our parents told us or didn't tell us. Our friends or enemies told us or didn't tell us. But something that the Almighty God, who you never contend with, speaks directly to a situation. What God do you know? Do you know the one that said in Jeremiah 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you a future and not hope." I mean, give you future and hope. Do you know that God? Then we must know that God is always right and He's always righteous. But He's not always fair. Fair would mean that if I took a life, I would die. This is a tricky one. I said it on purpose. It is tricky. God is always right. He's not always fair. You know what fair is? Let me tell you what the world considers fair. The world considers fair to be that if I belong in a family, if I have a family name, then the inheritance would be divided equally. Just because we share a name. That would be fair, but it's not right. Let me give you an example. In the Bible, it talks about a man that came to work first thing in the morning. He agreed to work for a certain amount during the day. He worked all day and he got paid for that certain amount. The guy came in right at the last minute. He worked only the last minute, but he got the same pay. Wasn't fair, was it? But it was right. You know why it was right? Because that's what they agreed to work for. Fair? No. Right? Yes. Please remember, God is not just always right. He's righteous. He's righteous. But thank God He's not fair. I'm going to tell you openly, thank God He's not fair. Because what's fair is that you sinned, you die. That's fair. Now listen. Let's go back to the signs. This is what I want. How many of you are pleased with the signs that follow you? I'm going to read you again. Mark 16, 17 and 18. Mark chapter 16, 17 and 18. And these signs will follow those who believe. If they believe in My name, they will cast out demons. If they don't, they won't. If they believe in My name, they will speak with new tongues. If they don't, they won't. If they believe in My name, they will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. If they don't, It'll hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick if they believe in my name, and they will recover. And if they don't, they won't recover. Who? Matthew 21, verse 21. Chapter 21, verse 21 and 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." It didn't say whatever things you ask in prayer, you will receive. It didn't say that. It says whatever things you ask, believing, you will receive. What does believing mean? That means I couldn't convince you of anything else no matter what. Let's just make it simple. I couldn't convince you of anything else no matter what if you believe. Well, what am I supposed to believe? Well, I believe that God's a good God. I don't believe He has any ill intent for me at all. I don't believe that He intends for me to be an experimental guinea pig for anything. I don't think that He's playing checkers with the devil. I don't think that the devil and Him have conversations about me. I don't think that there's an agreement anywhere, shape, time, form, or fashion, ever has been, ever will be, that somebody can play with me while the devil smiles. Hey, it's according to my belief. You believe the way you want to. You want any less than that, you go ahead and believe less than that. But this says, according to my belief. It also says this, that I can ask anything, and if I believe I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. If I ask anything, if I believe that I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it. That's what it said. Maybe we just need to start living and asking right. Let's don't ask fair, let's ask right. See, in your mind, you think, because there's a promise in the Word, that it's fair that you can ask and get. But God doesn't work on fairness. He works on righteousness. So don't think that God owes you because He's fair. He has to owe you when you're righteous. What do you mean, Stan? I got to be perfect? I didn't say that. Please. I wouldn't be able to say that. If it's up to that, I wouldn't be able to say it. If it's up to me. I'm saying that the minute Job quit looking at himself as one that's important, his gaze dropped off of his wants, his needs, his pain, his worry, and he focused on God. He realized how silly and foolish he'd been. Now, when you go to the throne room of God with a need, is it about you? Is it about you? Or is it about righteousness? Are you asking God because you had a pain? Are you asking God, or are you asking God because the pain is unrighteous? You see, you are to stand for righteousness and against unrighteousness. That's your whole goal in this life. You're not to be a Christian. You're not to be a heathen. You're a person chosen by God to stand for righteousness. Well, that means you've got to stand against something. And the reason the signs and wonders are not following properly is we haven't learned to stand against some things righteously. We stand against things when they bother us. We want things when we need them. What happened to Job was everything that was about him fell to one side. And he looked into the eyes of God and he forgot him, he forgot himself, he forgot the doggy people, he forgot the sores, he forgot everything. And he found out, this is about you, God, isn't it? This is about what you want. This is about what you want. Now listen, what do you think God wants? I brought full circle now, we're right back where I started. What do you think God wants? And if you think that God wants you to have cancer, go with it. Have it. Be quiet. Don't curse God. Rejoice God and ask Him for some more. If you think that's what God's about. If you think God's about something else, you need to be asking and believing for something else. Well, this is nearly too simple, isn't it? We need to start now, living and asking right. Let's go beyond self. Let's go into God. Listen, Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." Isn't that amazing? But that's the answer to everything. When you say that God can toy with you, you're not having faith in the real God. You're having faith in some fictitious God. You've heard the scripture that says God is no respecter of persons? Come on. You know what that means? That means He doesn't highly elevate one and stomp into the ground the other.
That's right.
Whichever perspective you want to look at. Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, mountain of doubt, mountain of unbelief, mountain of debt, mountain of health, mountain of fear, mountain of disbelief, mountain of enemies, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, and does not let his wicked heart doubt, does not let his foolish mind question, but does not doubt, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Now, what were you saying about God? Because you're going to have whatever you've been saying. You're going to have whatever you've been saying. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. The scriptures that I've read to you today give you this ability. They give you an ability that no other creature on the face of the earth has. And that is that you can design your signs and wonders following. You can literally design what follows you. I didn't hear anybody else in the whole book of Job proclaim how righteous Job was. I only heard Job proclaim how righteous Job was. Wouldn't it have been great that in a time of need, there would have been many that would have held Job up? If you're going to have need, if you just determine in your heart that you've got these problems coming, at least determine in your heart that you've got some friends, some people in Christ that'll hold you up and let those signs follow you. That's the lowest I want to go. That's the least of the signs that I want. But what I really want is these signs shall follow those that believe. Let's design the signs. How do you design the signs? Here's a word that you don't like to hear in church. Hardcore work. It's called work. If you think believing is not work, then you have never tried it. Believing is hardcore work. Because your body, your mind, and your heart want to go against the heart of God. You've got to have faith enough to ask. You have faith enough to believe. And then you have enough faith enough to stand. You and I are going to carry the cause. We're going to carry the cause of God, or we're going to carry the cause of the enemy. All we have to do is look behind us and see what's following. Is the cause of God following us? Or is it defeat? Steal, kill, destroy. Okay, next Sunday. Praise the Lord. Now, why, Stan, all of a sudden, would you start going back to this message? Okay. You smiled. What'd you smile about? Oh, that's a terrible thing to say. Yes. Now, truth of the matter is, that you and I, let's just talk about me for a second, got some Job in me. Got comfortable. See, comfortable is Job. And God don't like comfortable people. He likes peaceful people. There's a difference. Big difference. It's a difference between a lazy boy and a smile while you're working. Lazy boy will kill you. Smile while you're working makes you wealthy. Now listen to me. You know that I've been struggling with some pain. Right? I had enough. Had enough. The only reason I had it at all is because I made room for it. Y'all helped me with that. You'd come up and you'd say, how'd that happen? What a dumb question. We know the devil. We know God. Don't ask me how pain happens. You already know the answer. So what did I do? I fell into that. Well, you know, I picked up this thing wrong. Whatever you believe, you have. I made room. I made place. I made excuse. I made reason. And then you go back there and you say, oh God, it hurts. I need healing. Got a question for you. Which excuse is stronger? The one that gave it to you or the one that took it away? Which one am I going to believe? The one that gave it to me or the one that took it away? Now I got a work to do. Because now I got to go take back all those stupid words. I got to take back those stupid thoughts. And I got to replace them with righteous thoughts. You hear me? Now, why, Stan? Because I needed healing. How about y'all? Well, what about the sign, Stan? Hey, I drove here this morning. I have not been driving. I could not drive. I drove here this morning. And I did it with such a little pain that it's not even worth talking about. Are you hearing me? I unloaded bags of concrete. That's after the doctor, who he hasn't met Jesus, really. He's heard about him, but he hasn't met him. We're working on that. After the doctor says, you'll never work with your hands overhead. There goes the praise, and he's a liar. That's when he says, don't work anymore. Get you a rocking chair and set. You're through working. Hey. There's all kinds of suggestions coming to you, people. They're coming from within you. They're coming from outside of you. You have to know who you believe and what you believe. And if you don't learn that, you're going to die prematurely. Not rightly discerning the body. Are you hearing me? Don't get bored with me. You've got some things that need to be healed. Everybody in here has got some things that need to be healed. You're not going to get them by asking. You're going to get them by believing. How do I know that? Well, you already know that. You've asked 1,000 times already. Now, how much are you believing? I had some of the craziest pains. I've started doing this. I'm not going to listen to anything else. I'm not going to listen to anything else. The pains would come. My wife would see them. She said, what's wrong? I said, I'm healed. I'm healed. How are you feeling today? I think I feel healed. Come on, guys. You want to live or die? Do you want to live or die? See, Job was not very far from death. He had to make a choice. He had to make a choice. I told you once before. I'll say it again. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if I got blood coming out of every orifice that I own. I will live and not die. Why, Stan? Because you say so? Isn't that what the Bible just said? Whatever he says. Now understand, I don't make these things up. I found out the one that took them away, that delivered, the one that took them. And so I agree with him. He is a righteous God. I agree with him. Please, don't serve a God that you've got to disagree with. Don't serve a God you got to question. Johnny, you help me so much sometimes. I'm going to have to testify. I'm going to put you on the spot, turn you red, and I'm going to tell you how much you've helped me. It helps me. Things come along, just like they came along in Job's life. They come along to help. I didn't say they were righteous. I said they came along, and God turns what was meant to bad to good. Johnny walked up to my door the other day, grabbed my hand, said, Stan, I haven't seen you in a while. How the hell are you doing? I said, I don't do anything in hell. I don't do anything for hell. And don't ask me that again. Put me on the spot. I had to make a decision and say something. Do you understand? God will put you on a spot to get your response. And your response will heal you or kill you. Your response, not somebody else's. Your response will heal you or kill you. Stan, it sounds like mind over matter. Well, it isn't. No, it isn't my mind. My mind tells me. That's right. If you're going to look at it that way, it's God's mind and nothing else matters.
Amen.
It's God's mind and nothing else matters.
That's right.
If you have the mind of Christ, and I mean the real one, not the one that you think about saying, well, it's all right for him to toy with me. I'm talking about the real one that has nothing but good thoughts for you. No, it's beyond your comprehension, but just accept it anyway. God never sleeps. He never slumbers. He spends 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, having good thoughts about you. And you know what the good thoughts bring about? Plans. He's a strategist. Even in Job's life, he took that thing and he said, I see where Job's going. I don't want that to happen. And he developed another strategy. He wasted the first one, wasted the second one, wasted the third one, and the fourth prophet that finally came along, he got through to him. You know what happened? God outlasted Job. The test was not, is God going to win? The test is, when's Job going to give up? Now that's what I posed to you this morning. It's not about the war between God and Satan, you and God, you and Satan. It's just a matter of, do you like you or not? And I'm not talking about psychology here. I'm talking about the one that wakes up in the presence of God and says, I repent in sackcloth and ashes for what I've said, what I've thought, what I've done. That's not enough, guys. That's not enough. It's not time now for me to go like this and say your sins are absolved, because that won't work. For you to repent in sackcloth and ashes won't work. It says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea and has not doubt. That means fight every doubt that's within you. Fight, fight, fight. That you will have whatever you say. Be cautious about what you say. Be cautious about... Remember what I told you, Johnny? I'm learning to be very cautious about words. God's teaching me once again, afresh and new, be cautious about your words. Because it will determine what follows. Amen? All right. Stand with me. I don't intend to have an altar service this morning. This is not a word that demands altar. It's a word that demands permanency.
Yes.
A decision that's forever. Jeff, not even a horse comes against the Word of God. Not an accident. Not a dis-ease. Not a malady or a sickness. The only thing that comes against you is words. What kind of words? Your words, Satan's words, the enemy's words, are, you can use God's words to defeat them all. No weapon that has ever been formed can stand against the Word of God. Who do you serve? Where's your hope? Does God speak good words over you, and are you in agreement with those? Or do you think God speaks bad words over you, and you're in agreement with those? How can this work, Stan? Let me tell you how this is going to work. You've got to forget about everything you ever knew and replace it with what I just told you. Oh, that's so easy. It's not easy at all. That's hard. I just gave you the hardest assignment on the face of the earth. And that is to change your conversation, change your thought processes, and change the conversation and thought processes of those around you. Whoo, what signs can follow? That's already a huge sign. But I promise you, when that begins, you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I don't care if they're sick in mind, sick in body, sick in spirit, sick in finances. And now it's not about us. It's about the plan of God helping others. Amen?
Yes.
All right. I want to seal the Word and then let me seal this Word. And then just hold steady for a second. Father, I have given what You gave me. I will say what Jesus said. I have given them what You gave me. Lord, I ask You to back it up now with signs and wonders following. I ask You to change thought processes and change hearts, change lifestyles and change words. So strong and so drastic that every person in here will understand that there's a different sign and a different thing following. And I'm in wonder about that. The biggest wonder that's following is the wonder in me. I stand in awe of the tremendous change that You've done in our lives. I give You praise, God. Let what I've said fall to the ground. Let every word that's come forth from Your heart by the Holy Spirit stick and change and cause tremendous things to follow. Once again, we ask You to be with those that are on the road. When they come back, give them a hunger and a thirst to get this tape and catch up. We love You, Lord, with all of our hearts, and we place You before everything else. You in the highest place. Be the Alpha so that You can be our Omega. And for that, we give You praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Richard, you still in the mood? No? You want us to agree with you then? Richard depends on that dog. And that dog is having an ailment or a problem in one of his eyes. And everybody just turn and turn your hands that direction. And just say, what's his name?
Laramie.
Laramie, be healed. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, we want that sign followed and we want a testimony. In fact, I want to hear your testimony now. It says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. What's your testimony, Richard? Look at there. See how that works? Hallelujah. Every need is supplied. That's what the Bible says. Hallelujah. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else? I am excited. A little bit of what? A little bit of healing in your life. What's that? Yeah. Hey, we're supposed to learn from everything. All right. Whoever's close there, lay hands on him. It says, you will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. So we say in Jesus' name, this man is hurt. The obvious is there. But now we change the obvious into the miraculous and say, by the stripes of Jesus, he's healed. By the will of Jesus, he's healed. By the thoughts of God, he's healed. In Jesus' name, he walks in health. And he learns a lot. His testimony's strong in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, what's your testimony? Are you healed? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, so be it. I'm going to preach that one day, the oath of marriage. Well, the good part about the word, and you're going to have to get to be something besides finite beings if you're going to read the word of God. Because when God speaks, he can speak in the future. Because to him, it's not future, it's now. He can say of me, I'm perfect. because my name is already written in the book, and I'm already in heaven. You see what I'm saying? But let me tell you something. We've still got some flesh baggage we're hauling around, and that's what we deal with. Why? Why? Because unfortunately, our flesh still ministers. Do you know that? We don't like it. I don't like it. But my flesh still ministers, and that's what I've got to control. My spirit man is free, yet free indeed. Yes, free indeed. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
I am healed, saved, delivered. There's no, and all I got to do is watch out for those signs. I got to watch out for them until there's no more. That means I'm not here, I'm somewhere else, wherever that is. Then you won't worry about my flesh ministering. And I won't worry about my flesh ministering. But until that day, I got to work. That is my job. It is to tend this garden. You see a weed, you hear a weed, you pull it out. Gets a little dry, you water it. Need some fertilizer, get into the Word and watch it grow. Amen? Okay. All right. Absolutely. Yeah. Let me say it another way, since I don't have any integrity. My only integrity is in Christ Jesus. And Job was healed when he did what God told him to do. When he faced the fact that Job was not near the thing that he thought he was. Okay? Got it? I'm serious. That's everybody in here. Everybody in here is going to change when they realize they're not the thing that they thought they were. Alrighty? I don't want anybody... You know what? We got to understand this. That we are nothing without God. Nothing without God. If we can get that down in our hearts, then when we stand, when we minister, when we believe, then we know why and who we're doing. And it's not us. The trouble with faith movement is that it got to be all about me. It got to be all about me. And then you know what the next step is? It's all about my works. It's how hard I work. It's how good I live. It's how well I speak. It's how many people I testify. It's how many people I witness to. How many people I get saved. Then we get us a ticker tape board over here. 28,361,000. Has nothing to do with nothing. It's about God. It's about God. Listen to me. It's about God. We can use Job as both a good and a bad example. You can use me as that. Has nothing to do with anything. It's about God. Job is dead and gone. He's in heaven. He don't need our sympathy. He don't need our accolades. He wants. I got a feeling what Job wants is for us not to go through what he went through, but to be a little smarter because we now have the Holy Spirit. We have the New Testament. He didn't have anything. Okay? We are praying for that. I have yet heard him ask us to agree with him, but I know my heart is that he sees. I don't believe that God, and I totally agree with that. Let me say this. Let me say this in response to you. I made it clear in my message, as gentle as I know how, that people are going to be at the stages that they're in. I hope I made that clear. It's not my job to determine somebody else's belief or faith. It's my job to present the Word and have that Word create the pressure. But the one thing that I don't want to do is get into a position that if anything's wrong with anybody in here, you're sinning. That's not what I was saying. I'm saying that through the foolishness of preaching, that's what the Bible says, pressure is put on. Not by me, but by the Holy Spirit. And I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, when that man and God see eye to eye about whatever it is they see, he's going to see. He's going to see. Because I have total faith in the Word. I have total faith that Jesus bought his sight. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is the only one that makes a man move out and risk everything through faith. You hear me? We can convince people to risk things and they die. But I strongly suggest, no matter what, that you do what you do until you look eye to eye like Job did in God's eyes and another step is taken. I explained to you that through pain and through the visitation of the Holy Spirit that God began to put pressure on me about this very Word. If you remember the stages, you guys ought to write these stages down on your calendar. Just see what God's doing in my life and in yours. He brought me to the plan. Do you remember? What was the plan? From my heart, I told you that God was revealing to me that it's not about me. It's about other people. That's going to cause a righteous healing, An unrighteous healing is when it's all about me. A righteous healing is when you know that God did this for a better purpose, a greater purpose, a higher purpose. Amen? And I'm telling you, everybody in here is healed. Everybody in here is healed. If you're just healed from a little doubt and unbelief, you're healed. I want Richard to make the decision. Now you see, I want everybody to hear that. I think you did, but I'm going to say it probably another way. And that is this, that it doesn't make any difference in what state that I am. Let me say it another way. Let me just go another direction. The one that we can really easily understand. If God would walk in here with $1 million in His hand and walk up and handed it to you, and you knew if you took it, it would sidetrack you from the presence of God, would you take it? See, I think we'd all sweat bullets. That's what I think. And I think some of us would make the wrong decisions. I admire you for saying that, Richard, but I don't think it's a prerequisite that people that have eyes cannot serve God. And I'm not rejecting what you said at all, but I am trying to plant another piece of faith in you that if, and by the way, Richard, if you never see anything again, you've seen more than most of us anyway. And we give you praise at where you are now. But a higher praise would come from the one that paid for the blindness. But when you and him see eye to eye, that's the main thing. When you and him see eye to eye, see that there's no risk. Well, Richard, I'm selfish. I want you to see. I want you to see. The trouble is, if you ever see me, you may run off. Yeah. You also heard me say very clear. You also heard me say very clear that when we were talking about Job sinning, the sin that Job was committing was he was blaming God. Everything that I read in there shows you that the sin that was being referred to is blaming God for what he was going through. My message to you again was today was to look at the signs and wonders follow. I didn't say look at the sin. I said look at signs and wonders and choose if that's satisfactory. The problem with Christianity is it makes people settle for things. Jesus didn't want people to settle for anything. If you baked a cake and it fell, are you going to go repent for sin? Are you going to go find a way that keeps that from happening? I don't think this is about a bunch of sinners. I think this is about people that want to be like Christ but don't settle for anything less than Christ. Yeah. And will we be perfect? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm going to keep trying. And that's what this is all about. Will there be a time in my life where there will never be any pain? Yes. I'll not say anything else. If there is, it's not God that's betraying me, and it's not me betraying God. The thing that Job was going through led him to a better walk with God. Does that mean I want boils? Does that mean I want all my wife and kids to die? Come on, please. Let's don't start some stupid religion. Let's get to the point that my relationship with the Father God, with Jesus and with the Holy Spirit, is going to cause me to grow every day the rest of my life. That's it. And I'm not going to settle for anything else, and I highly recommend nobody in here settle for anything else but that. He said, you begin. And that's what we do. That's what I did. You begin to settle back with that. Well, I think that I can tolerate this if it doesn't go any further. That's not a promise from God. Because that's what He called with it. Yes. Yeah. And you're not ever going to help anybody by saying you're sick because you're a sinner. That's not going to help anybody. I can tell you in Job's life that his pain and his sickness, his dis-ease, brought him to a position of listening better. Because if Job would have been where he was to begin with, I don't think he would have ever heard from God. He had to lose some of that. He had to fall. He had to start hurting. He had to start thinking. And a lot of times things in our lives, forget the sin for a second. Because I believe that when God begins to focus on somebody, and you focus on Him, don't worry about the sin. If it's there, it's going to get taken care of. Just listen to what God's trying to tell you. He's not going to say you're a stinking, dirty, rotten sinner. It's not going to happen. That isn't the way God works. He will begin to point at things, and I'm going to tell you, God's such a good God with no condemnation. He can point out things that are sin, and He didn't even have to call it sin, and you'll want to get rid of it. He's talking about music or television or whatever. Don't go around telling people those are sin. Just let God deal with it without the word sin. That's become some crazy connotation that gets everybody down on their face, but that never gets them standing up believing for anything. I told you, in the Nazarene church that I went to, they always kept me at the altar, but they never gave me a direction to go after I got up. Sure it is. Sure it is. But you even mentioned easy listening music. That's not pornography. But when God said, I'd like for you to... See, He didn't say, don't you do it again. He said, here's what I suggest. That's the way God is. Here's what I suggest. Hunger. Yeah. Meat instead of milk. Yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, the most obvious thing that we studied, the most glaring thing that we studied in Job was the minute he looked at God. The minute he looked at God. He didn't say, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. He said, I repent in sackcloth and ashes and I despise myself. Why would he despise himself? Because he's been such a bad guy. No, because he fell in love with something. The nature changed. He fell in love with something. And I'm telling you, if we're in love with God, and he's in love with Jesus, and he is. Then he loves what Jesus did, which you have to go back to the Scripture that says that by my stripes you are healed. And there's not any other Scripture that will ever supersede that one. So what does that mean? If you're sick, you're a sinner. No! It means that God has done something and He's offered it to us and we need to go for it with everything that's in us. And nowhere in between do you take condemnation. Not one time when my back was hurting did I say, oh, Stan, you're a dirty, rotten sinner. Because that wouldn't have got me anywhere. You begin to remember the things of God, the mind of Christ, and you begin to move that direction. And I promise you, when you move in God's direction, He's going to move in yours. That's the nature change. You lose yours, you gain His. That's what it's all about. Right? Doesn't make any difference. Let me ask you one, and this is a question we all need to ask ourselves, please. If he doesn't, then what? Yeah, but no. So, this is a very important question we have to ask ourselves. See, just because you don't see it doesn't mean he didn't come through. I want to ask you, this is a most honest question. If he doesn't, in your eyes, see nothing, if you don't see anything tomorrow, and everything goes to hell in a handbasket, where are you with God? Yeah. What do you think about God? Okay, then you have a right to ask anything. See, this is the key to everything. If we're going to judge God by his answer, we've already lost. Because you know by the finite that you need some answers tomorrow. God may know by the infinite that the next day is better.
Service, but you mentioned it. The Lord said, read these verses to Ann Taylor. Luke 21:3-4, and this is what God wants to say to you. Truly I say to you, Ann, that you have put in more than all, for all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but you out of your poverty have put in all the livelihood that you've had. I believe the Lord is going to honor your request and your prayer, and he's going to meet your need. Amen. I believe the Lord is going to honor you.
Amen. Well, then let's pray. We plan for you or with you? Okay. Well, now you're going to have to come next because she's ahead of you now. God's fun. Praise the Lord. Father, now we don't pretend to know, and it's not important for us to know. But what it is important is for us to believe you, that you were and you are to come. And God, by her own testimony, it doesn't make any difference what happens tomorrow. She's going to love you with all of her heart. So in that, we ask you to meet every need, Lord. We don't know what it is. We don't even know how to do it. So we're not going to be crazy enough to try to tell you. But we are going to quote your word, Lord, that you said these signs will follow those that believe. She and us, we believe that deliverance is needed. And that you have it, and it is done, it is finished. Jesus paid the price. Thank you, Lord, for her salvation, in total salvation. The healing of finances, the healing of things that got her into this, and the healing of the knowledge to keep her out. Lord, we speak that her needs are met, physically, mentally, spiritually, financially. Her needs are met in Jesus' name. And God, in advance, right now, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise that it is finished. Jesus went to the cross and said, it is finished. That means that's the last word that ever needs to be spoken. It is finished. She believes, she believes, she believes. In you, God. In you, God. In you, God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.
And the Lord says that He wants you to bring back a testimony.
Yes.
The Lord says to tell you to let go right now. Completely let go of the situation.
Yeah.
The Lord's soul, and know that He is your Lord and your God and your provider. And this is what I hear the Spirit says. Tell her I am going to rearrange some things, some deadlines. I am going to move sovereignly. And the Lord says, you shall see it. And the Lord says, after you see it, the Lord says, don't be, Anne, as the lepers who 9 did not return to give thanks to God. And I'm not saying you come back and give thanks to me. You give thanks to the Lord and you give testimony to the body.
Yeah, we need it. Yes.
You're going to see it happen, Ann. It's God's already at work right now in your situation.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Hallelujah.
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 Praise the Lord. Now, we don't want Richard to feel bad.
Praise the Lord.
Well, every day, every moment is the appointed time.
That's right.
Because no matter whether you see with the eyes, you're going to see with the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And I heard you say that. You would rather see with the Spirit than with the eyes.
Amen.
You heard you say that. And God likes that.
Yes.
He likes that. Father, we bring this man to you.
Yes.
Not that you don't know him, but I feel like afresh and anew today, he's recommitted to you.
Yes.
Kind of hear that in the Spirit, that he recommitted to you.
Yes.
That you are more important than anything in his life.
Yes.
And because of that, Lord, Because that He's placed you first at the highest place.
Yes.
We now can say in Jesus' name,
yes,
we believe that this man is healed from the top of his head to the sole of his feet.
Yes.
We're not satisfied just with eyesight, but
yes,
pituitary gland,
yes,
or any other malady or sickness that comes against it. We speak to this body, be healed in Jesus' name by Jesus' works.
Yes.
Believe it. Believe it according to the Scripture. Don't let the lack of sight discourage you.
That's right.
Don't let that happen.
Hallelujah.
We don't care if it's instantaneously over a period of time. We speak health and healing wholeness into this man. And God, we will be faithful to testify of this thing that you're doing and have done. We'll give you glory. We'll give you honor. This man will dance before you all the days of his life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Your kingdom will be added to because of this. That's what it's about. Your kingdom being added to. So be it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Will I see better? Huh? Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Now, one of the words that we need to, that's a good word. And one of the directions of prayer is pray for each other's faith. Now understand, there could be a challenge come. We can call it a test, or we can say, since you want to grow, here's another thing to grow on. Okay? And that's, God does that. Sometimes He instantly does things. But I got some news for you. In my life, most of the time, it's a little bit of work. I've had the instant. You'll remember both. But don't disdain one for the other. Amen? Now, Mom and Dad need healing, and they need for us to pray for their faith. They've prayed for many others' faith. It's time for the body to believe for their faith and healing. Now, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God would have them active. Amen? And not slowed down by any nonsense like a hurt knee or a hurt hip or a hurt back or a hurt brain or a hurt faith. Amen? Everybody in agreement with that?
Yeah.
Then why don't you lay hands on them and let's pray. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for them, Lord. We thank you for them, Lord. God, I pray that... I thank you, Lord, that from birth until whatever else comes, whenever they're not here and they're somewhere else, whatever we call that time, you have given promises that are Alpha and the Omega promises, the ones that cover from beginning to end. And God, we apply those to them now in Jesus' name. We just cover them. We rain on them with the promises of God. We wash away the spirit of infirmity, the spirit of death and destruction, the spirit of discouragement. We do that with the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the stripes of Jesus. We speak and we curse those things that come against their experiences and their knowledge and their faith. We come against those now. And God, for your honor and for your glory, we speak into them healing in hip and back and knees and mind and emotions and wills. And faith, we speak unto them, total healing. Let their testimony come forth for your honor, for your glory. Let a heart come forth that springs out in joy, leaps in faith and testimony. Let it be so in Jesus' name. God, for your honor, we ask these things. For your benefit, we ask these things, Lord. For your praise, we ask these things. We reaffirm in Jesus' name that they are healed. They are healed. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Because you know, speaking things against you.
Yeah.
For the Lord's sake.
Yeah.
But I will not leave you nor
thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
no matter what the place facing lately, because God and the angels of God, literally, the angels of God, if God took peace and has no darkness whatsoever, or if it's reform, and you just say,
yes. Yes.
Because he's there. Immediately, and you will not be closer from your beloved.
Yes.
And God says, the Lord, whatever, wherever you, God is, but I'm with you.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
I gotta thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yes, sir. No. But those things that do happen, He takes them, and this is where we mess up. He was just reaffirming that God does not give sickness, car accidents, all that stuff. The God that I know, He doesn't own any, so He can't give them. But, He can use those things that were meant for bad. He will touch them and turn them to good. That's what we need to focus on. The devil wants you to believe that God gives you bad stuff. That way He can give you some more in God's name. He's sneaky. He's a deceiver. Just remember, if you can get it black and white, good is God, bad is the devil. Good is God, bad is the little child thing. Just get it down, then you know how to believe. He comes to kill all of that simplicity. The devil does. God says, unless you become as a little child, you will not see the things of the kingdom. So let's just get it down. God is good, the devil is bad. Teach your children, God is good, the devil is bad. Amen?
If I can, for just a minute, I just sensed this from Kelly when they were talking about Kelly. And Kelly, this is for you, but I sense there's somebody else there who needs to remind you of this. What Patrick said is a good word, but there's more to it than that. God's word says, God says to you, if your heart condemns you, I am greater than your heart.
Yeah.
And the condemnation does not come from God. Condemnation and guilt don't come from God. Don't receive that. That never comes from God. Never, ever receive that. That's a lie from hell. Amen?
Never work your way out of sin, and you'll never work your way into healing.
That's right. All you
ever do is straighten up. That's right. You will contend for the faith. If there's work, it's for the faith. Remember, if you're working, it's for the faith. You're not going to work your way out of sin. You're not going to work your way out of sickness. But you're working for that faith. What do I truly believe? What do I truly believe? That's our work. Hope I didn't mess anything up. But I know that's the work that we have to do. All right. Are they there now? All right. The sign-up sheet's in the back for next Sunday's sandwiches.
Wait, don't let nobody drink twice.
No. I'm with him.